The Holy Spirit. Come on. Test. You guys can sit down. Sit down. Tell them your story. Stay in this environment, though, and tell them about what you were believing God for, what you confessed, and what you got.
Praise Jesus. Woo! I'm feeling pastor this morning. Amen.
Amen.
Woo! Healing's in the place today. Woo! Tell you what. All right, so some of you may have heard this testimony before. Thank you, pastor, for putting me on the spot right now. I got this.
Be ready in season or out.
That's right. So last summer, I was at work, and I felt dizzy all of a sudden. I couldn't walk. I couldn't stand up. And my coworkers, my team members, were also worried about me. I couldn't get up out of a chair. Thank God I work for a doctor's office. They wheeled me down to my doctor's office. No one could understand why I was feeling this dizziness. I had had an ear ache for several weeks prior to, but it wasn't bothering me. So I kept working and I didn't bother to go to the doctor for the ear ache. But now with this dizziness and being unable to function, they took me to the doctor. The doctor sent me to get a bunch of tests because I won't say a young lady like me, but but someone of my age should be able to walk and talk and be able to function. So they sent me for tests. Long story short, they sent me for an MRI. And the results of the MRI came back in an unexpected way.
Yeah.
They diagnosed me with a lesion in my brain and a blood clot in my brainstem. It was a diagnosis that the doctor says most people make in an autopsy. You don't usually find out you have this condition until it kills you.
It just kills you.
So I was like, okay, Lord, I know your plans for me are good, to have an abundant life. So this is not your will for me, so I'm not going to accept it.
Amen.
Right? So my doctor said, you have to go see a specialist, see a neurosurgeon, a brain doctor. I said, okay. But before I did that, I called on my elders and I called on my church family because I knew the most important thing for my healing was prayer.
Amen.
The most important thing. So many of you see me a greeting. Many of you have hugged me and I've been hugged by me. During that time and that diagnosis, you did not know I got that diagnosis because you know why? I was not accepting it.
Yep.
And I was praising Jesus through it.
Amen.
So you didn't see me moping. You didn't see me worried. You didn't see me giving in to the fear Satan wanted me to
yep,
give into.
That's right.
You didn't know I had that diagnosis. My church family came around me. And they brought heaven down.
Come on.
Tell you. They laid hands on me. Oh my gosh, I'm gonna, okay. Woo! And the important thing is, you don't need to know who prayed for me. You just need to know I was prayed for.
Yeah, that's right. That's it.
You don't need to know who prayed for me. You just need to know hands were laid on me and I was prayed for.
Amen.
Fervently. I'm telling you, they brought heaven down that day.
Mm.
Name of Jesus.
Come on.
They call on his name, his healing, his promises. And I left there just floating.
Yep.
Yes.
I was just floating. I'm serious. I was just floating. I got a book from a lovely sister in church as well that helped her through some health issues and helped her through some healthy times. And in that book, it was scripturally based. Chapman, right? Is scripturally based, where there were some proclamations in that book based on the Bible that you proclaim healing. So I took that book to heart, and it was very special to her, and it just honored me that she would share this book with me. God's Healing Power.
Mm.
So I had the book, I had my Bible. Then a song came on the radio at that exact time called Fear. And Francesca, thank you. She sang it. And the lyrics in that song, I tell you what, when I heard that song the first time, you should have seen me in my car. I was driving down the road, and I was just singing at the top of my lungs. Fear, you don't own me. You don't know who I am. I have identity in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I will not walk in fear. I mean, the lyrics were perfect for the time because that is my proclamation. So I was proclaiming God's word with the book, the healing words, praying healing into my own body. My cells, everything, just proclaiming it, saying the words. Don't just think it, say it. Believe it when you say it. Lord, I know your plan for me. Lord, I am healed in the name of Jesus.
That's right.
This is not your will for me. I proclaimed it. Then I was praising him like a crazy woman in my car. Lord, I won't try to sing. I won't.
I tried.
But you know what? There was no shame in it. I find no shame in praising Jesus Christ.
Come on.
People see me fanning, I'm burning for Jesus. People see me singing, I'm crazy. I'm crazy about the Lord. I'm just saying. So I was praising, proclaiming, and I was praying.
Yeah.
The three P's. Praising, proclaiming, and praying.
Yep.
And I stood in God's promises, went to the neurosurgeon, took my films, took the report that said I had all these awful things, and it's a death sentence. He said, you know what? I'm looking at your film. I want a second opinion. I'm going to send it to a specialist in Shands. I was up in Gainesville. He didn't tell me what he saw on the film. He didn't tell me what he was concerned about. He said, I'm going to send it to my friend in Gainesville, an orthopedic specialist. He sent the film. Two days later, I heard from the neurologist. But the night before I heard from the neurologist, I was in the shower, and God spoke to me. And he said, Denise, it was there, but now it's gone.
Praise Jesus.
Now, this is before I heard from the neurologist.
Yeah.
I was like, you should have seen me in the shower. No. You know what I mean. I was like, Lord, is that you? For real? I jumped out of the shower so fast. I couldn't get out of there fast enough to let my husband know that God had spoken to me the good news. He said it was there,
but
and now
gone.
It's gone.
Amen.
It was so simple. It was not this long diatribe about I healed you because of your faith and blah, 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 blah. No, he was like, it was there and now it's gone.
Yep.
The only thing he didn't say was boo. It was there, but now it's gone, boo. So I told my husband, I shared the word because the neurologist was calling me the next day. Next day I get a phone call at work. It's the neurologist. And she said, are you sitting down? I said, yeah, what's going on? So I'm ready. I'm ready for it, because whatever you speak, it's not going to be true. If it's something bad, of course. She said, are you sitting down? I said, yeah, I'm good. She goes, I got great news. We can't find anything. Well, I was screaming. I was praising Jesus. You know, I've shared with the neurologist's office several times about the Lord. They're Christians as well. I was praising Jesus. I was like, I knew you weren't going to find anything. God told me last night that you weren't going to find anything. I mean, she was like, are you okay? I was like, yes, praise Jesus. So I say all of this to let you know he is in the healing business. Yeah. Just saying. I love you guys. Love you. Thank you, Pastor. I love you.
Hallelujah. Isn't that great? Praise God. Hey, stand to your feet. We're gonna praise God. We're gonna worship. We're gonna sing one more song for the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. We're just gonna go what the Holy Ghost is leading us to do. Amen. Y'all ready, right? Come on. Amen. Hallelujah. You can be seated. You guys keep playing. Come on. Come here. We're gonna have another testimony. Praise God.
Yeah. I got 5 minutes to tell my testimony. That's fun. For anyone that like knows me, I'm like very outgoing, very like just, I don't know, exciting, outgoing. Shannon. Mr. Shannon. But I'm dating. I'm not dating anymore. I'm engaged. And still getting used to that. We're engaged, getting married. Anyways, for anyone knows me, oftentimes when I tell my testimony, it's like completely different than what you're expecting. Originally from Ohio. I grew up there. I lived there until I moved here. But for years, like for people who don't know me, I don't know my dad. I lived in like a very broken family. My mom always felt like she just dragged me around. So throughout my life, I always questioned that people actually loved me. I questioned who I was, questioned where I was at. I always thought that life was pointless. I hated my family. I thought they were just a burden. And so about like my mid-teens, at a time when I felt like no one loved me, no one cared about me, the world approached me like a time when I'm wanting something to fill my void. Drugs and stuff came into my life. I started to really get into that. So went through this period of my life to where I started just doing drugs to fill a void, but eventually became an addiction. To where I was drinking, I was smoking, I was doing just basically anything, pills, cocaine, like anything to get my hands off. Because to be honest, at that period of my life, I didn't like being sober. Like the feeling of being sober to me was the worst feeling in the world because I wanted to basically escape anything around me. And so I went through a period of my life of just hitting the lowest of lows, a point in my life where I lost everything. My mom, we ended up getting kicked out of this house, and for months I didn't even see my family. I was actually homeless. My family like dispersed. Like my mom went off somewhere. I didn't know where she was at for months, my brothers and everything. And I went through a period where I was like sleeping on benches and staying in people's homes. And I was probably like 16 at the time, trying to survive. And during this period of my life, I just got lower and lower and lower to where I felt like that the nothing was worth living for. And I remember like thinking like I was like super poor. And so when we finally did come together, like we had no money. So there would be days where I would go hungry and I would like, I mean, it's one thing people say, oh, I have nothing in my fridge. I mean, I literally had nothing. And so I'd have to go days without food because simply I didn't have food to eat. And even like that point in my life, I would, even days without eating, when I would get money, I would feed my addiction instead of my actual stomach. And so I would go days hungry to get stoned, to consume my life, drinking every single day, every night. My, like, to be honest, I was probably sober from the only time I was sober was when I woke up for a few hours. And I usually was consumed, like, I was high from the moment I woke up to about all the way until, like, school. I would get sober for a second after school, and then I would just do drugs about 3 in the morning. I did this for years. And then it was like there was this moment to where my family came to visit me. My uncle, he recently moved out. I was living in Ohio. He moved down to Florida and then ended up coming up to visit. And I was like, I was supposed to go have dinner with him. And I remember sitting, I went and had dinner with him. I just got stoned. So I was like going to have dinner with my family. And I was like drunk at this time. I was not drunk. I was stoned. And I trying to remember all these things off the top of my head. And I remember I went to have dinner with him, my grandma, and my uncle, and we're sitting in this place, and my grandma's staying, and we were talking for months at this point about me moving down to Florida, and I remember, like, we would do it, and they're like, hey, I'm going to move down there, and they would always back out, and, like, but I remember sitting in my grandma's living room, was all by myself, and I'm sitting there wrestling with these things, and I remember hearing a voice, like, at the time, I thought I was going nuts, I remember hearing a voice saying, you need to move down to Florida. And I was like, I don't want to move down to Florida. I'm like arguing with this thing, thinking I'm going crazy. You need to move down to Florida. And I end up going to my grandma and I'm like, I feel like I made a mistake. I think I'm actually supposed to go down to Florida. And she like gave me this like one-time speech. She's like, this is your last time. If you back out this time, I'm no longer going to help you. Because I've done this like 15 times at this point. And I was actually supposed to move down like months later, but then with grades and stuff, I had to move down like in like 2 weeks. From the moment I made a decision, I moved down. Like I went down there with addiction, with hatred, with self-hatred, with anger. Like I went down there with no like redemption. Like I didn't think I was going to go down there. My life was going to change. I actually went down there with the intention of getting back in drugs. Actually, my first day of school, I found a way back into it all. It was just going to transfer here. That's all I was going to do. And I had a friend. It was funny because the youth pastor at Calvary was actually my friend in Ohio. Our families know each other. And when his family moved down, my family followed. And so when I came here, I went to his house. He invited me to church. And I was like, absolutely not. Didn't want to go. And so he ends up inviting me. And then I'm going to church on a Wednesday. And I remember walking to this place and like they're playing football and stuff. And then they inviting us for prayer. And I'm like, I didn't know people actually prayed, to be honest. I went to a prayer meeting, not knowing people actually prayed, went to this moment of like carrying this idea of like being neglected, not feeling like anyone loved me, not having a dad, not having a mom that I feel like I just drug me around, and having this situation where I just felt hopeless. And like my life was consumed by drugs, consumed by all these things. And I remember coming into this moment, not expecting anything, because I wasn't a Christian at the time. I'm like, I'm at church. I really don't want to be here. I actually went to church to meet girls to make friends, was my reasoning for going. And I ended up going to this prayer meeting, not expecting a single thing, but in one moment, I ended up encountering the presence of God. And I remember thinking to myself, I have never experienced anything like this in my life before. I remember experiencing the love, the power, and presence of God, feeling that. And in that moment, I remember thinking, this is so much better than anything I've ever experienced. And I gave my life to him that night. And and it's funny because I was like, you guys have heard like Isaiah 22:22. That was the first time that PO actually preached that. Their first time ever was that night. I still actually have a key gave to us. It's my stuff of things I carry throughout my life. But yeah, anyways, I remember that night, and it wasn't like I got saved and I had to go through his time. It was a total like born again experience. Remember the time I gave my life to Christ? I remember thinking like, it's all different now. And like God gave me new desires. I remember like just days before I was like, my only desire is to get high, to get stoned, just to be consumed by that. And in a moment I was like reading my Bible when I was praying and I was seeking God, and those things just begin to fade away. All that pain, all that those things of not feeling loved my entire life, feeling like I was unwanted, and in a moment I experienced a father who just consumed me in the moment and just wrapped me in his arms. Because oftentimes we have this understanding that God loves us, but what we really need in the moment is just feeling his embrace. Yeah. And in the moment, I felt the embrace of God, and it literally changed everything. Yeah. And like, anyway.
One more. Hallelujah. God, we're just following the Holy Spirit. Hey, Bobby, come on up here. Yeah, we've been talking about this for a while. I'm going to give you a few minutes to share a little bit of your testimony, all right? Yeah. No, that's why I said a few minutes. Come on up. Everybody say, welcome, Bobby.
This was a surprise. Many of you don't know me, and many of you know me. Listen, this is, I'm going to try to put 3 days into 5 minutes. Guys, I was one of the hardest guys to believe in God. It took me 40 years to stop believing in God. I put my life and my family's life. In their life, I don't know how. Today, I'm going to let you know I was born in a family of 7 kids. We didn't have a floor. We only had dirt. If you complain in this country that you are poor, I don't think you haven't seen poor yet. I was 5 days without eating. My brother was in the military and brought me a piece of bread. I was sleeping in the outside. I was 12 years old when I put myself on the top of a building. I want to jump down. And they asked me what I want. And I told my mom that was in the bottom of the building, all what I want was freedom from her, because she was too demanding. I was just a little kid. I didn't know what demanding was. All what I wanted was freedom to do what I want. And my mom walked away, and she said, give it to him. He can do whatever he wants. But I'm letting you know that 3 months after that, my mom tried to take her life. And I was part of that because of me. But she didn't die. She was in the hospital for 2 years. But in that process that she was in the hospital, I was doing what I want. And for all those kids that you don't believe what your mom is doing the right things, I'm going to let you know. They know what they're doing. We just don't know. I end up in prison, age 15. I wanted to kill myself when I was in prison. I was sentenced 16 years. I don't want to tell you guys what I did, but I know I've been close to that too many times. I was close to being, I was captured to be raped when I was 13 years old. I had to defend myself and escape from that. That was the first time that I defend myself from my life. And I don't want to go into details what happened, but I was in prison. It was my birthday. And I know that I was making a rope to end my life. But I didn't know there was God out there. I just look out at the bars and I ask God to give me a second chance. If I die, I wanted to be a horse or a butterfly or a bird. Just a second chance to be free. That would never do what I just did. Little that I know, 3 days after that, Mother's Day, it came somebody and said, "You are going to United States. I want you to fill up these papers." The four people in my cell, they were doing life sentence, and they tell me, "You're crazy. If you sign this paper, you'll be dead. Nobody going to do what you just did and going to go to heaven, because that's what we call this country, heaven." Well, I signed the papers no matter what. 3 o'clock that night, that afternoon, I was transferred to another room just like this. I was the first one in that room. And by 2-3 hours after, the room was full. Even those people that told me I was crazy, they were there with me. That was a day before Mother's Day. The next day, I was transferred to one of the worst prisons. They called Morro. It's on the water. It's just like Alcatraz in Cuba. But as I was out of the prison and my mom had a heart attack, she got out of the hospital to visit me. And outside, she had a heart attack because I was a minor sent into the United States. She thought I was already in the United States. I was in the 14th worst day of my life. I know there had to be God's power to take me from that place that I was going to take my life. I spent the 14th worst day of my life in those jail. 7 days in the Morro prison and 7 days in Mosquito Beach. Guys, when you really think what's happening to you, it could be for the first, something good is going to happen. They put me in the boat with 67 people in a 25-foot boat. 7 miles out, we start sinking. A big boat came, took 40 people, left 27. But I'm letting you know that my wife know I could be one of the luckiest guy in the world. Because what I'm going to tell you is we never made it to the Keys. We started sinking 7 miles out. I was rescued 12:18 at night, that night. And we don't know what happened to the other 27 people. And I don't want to know. But I was rescued alone. I came here. And I still didn't know God. And I was adopted by a family in New York. I know I was not a good kid. I was a bad kid. And I told them, I'm a bad guy. You don't want me in your house. But they gave me the love for 3 months. They asked me to go to high school. I put myself to high school. Finished my high school. I met my wife. The love of my life. But I'm letting you know. In New York, I had a rough. People took advantage of me because who I was and was alone. I didn't care about my life. But today, I moved to Florida and somebody teach me about Jesus Christ. My wife was a Christian since she was born. And you don't know what is walking with the devil since you were born. I grew up in a voodoo family. I didn't grow up with Jesus Christ in my life. I grew up with people praising the devil every day. Came over here, my wife and her family pray for me every day. And I'm letting you know, those prayers, they work. People in church pray for me. It work. God had 10 commandments. I broke them all. I'm not ashamed to say I did. But thank God for Jesus Christ. He forgave me. Thank God for somebody else from another country that told me that if you forgive everybody, he can forgive me. Because I thought I was not going to be forgiven for everything I did in my life. But you know what? He took this close here in this country to take my life into, he says, going to that church and leave the devil outside. And I did. I went. And I left him outside. And I left all my ways outside. And I walked through the other door. I didn't know who the pastor was. I said, pray for me. I'm going to take my life for things that I did to my family. And I walked out of the other door. They don't know my name, and I don't know their name. But today, I walk with Jesus. Yeah. And I ask everybody that if you don't know Jesus Christ and you don't believe in him, you're wasting your time. You try to be bad. Listen, you're not. You're going to end up in jail. If you're a kid that you want freedom from your parents and you want to do drugs, let me tell you, you don't have to do drugs. I never did drugs. I tried. I didn't like them. But I did many things worse than drugs. If you want freedom, you don't want to, you don't want your parents, you don't want to listen to nobody, you're going to end up just like I did. And I'm going to let you know one thing. Don't waste your time just like I did. I have a beautiful wife, beautiful family, a church family right here. And I have, the first thing is I have Jesus Christ with me today here. That I open up my heart to them. And if you can say you believe in God. Go to church and give him money and pray and do whatever you want. But into the day you don't decide to say, my heart is yours. He doesn't going to come up to you. He's free. It doesn't cost you a penny. And I was one of the hardest guys to give money to churches because I didn't know what the money was. But I was blind, and now I can see. Don't waste your time. Believe in Jesus Christ. He's the only way, the light. And the cross is waiting for you to one day to say, Jesus, I'm yours. I live my way. Whatever I did, I put it right there. If he took me out of jail, if he walked with me for 40 years without believing in God, I was walking. The devil was right in my boat. And I've been everywhere. I did everything that you cannot imagine. I cannot imagine. Whatever you mentioned, I did it. The only thing I didn't do is sell drugs and use drugs. But I did it. I'm telling you, I'm being ashamed of my life. But today, those ones can tell you that I changed my life. Not a 360, but double. And I praise you guys for many people who pray for my family, that I pray for everybody. And this guy right here, thank you.
I love this, man. It's a great testimony. I think I should give part of my paycheck to you this week because you preached. You're the guy who did all the work. What an unbelievable testimony. Just give it up for all these who testified. Praise God. Wow. Listen. The same Jesus that rescued all these three that testified is here to rescue you. No matter what you're going through, no matter where you've been, no matter where you're going, he loves you. You've been fearfully and wonderfully made, and you've been flung from eternity to live in such a time as this, and he is intimately acquainted with you, and he loves you on your worst day. And he comes to deliver you. Let's just close our eyes. Just to close our eyes. I'm just going to have a moment here. Just going to give an opportunity for people to respond. So if through these three testimonies, of healing and deliverance and forgiveness and salvation and freedom. You've experienced the tug of the Lord on your heart, and you've recognized that He's here for you to rescue you, to heal you, to save your family, your marriage, your future, your children, whatever you're believing for. And you realize God's been tugging on your heart here today. You've just been affected by what's been said. You just knew God was talking to you with all heads bowed, eyes closed. Okay, if you know God's talking to you right now, just lift your hand up if you know God's been talking to you today, okay? Listen, you know God's talking to you. Come on, I just want to pray for you. There's hands going up all over. You've been impacted by what was said today, and God's called you. You know God's calling you right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, you see those, God, that have lifted up their hands to you and acknowledging, saying, God, I hear your voice. I hear you talking to me today. I hear you loud and clear. I receive your word, Lord God. I receive your word of life, of healing, of deliverance, of salvation today, Lord God. I recognize you are for me and not against me. You have a plan for my life. And even today, you have called me and are speaking to me in this very moment, in this very hour. I acknowledge, God, that I hear you and that I am responding to that which you have said to me in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. This is good stuff, huh? Isn't it good stuff? So I preached in first service on envy. So you can get online and all the first service, they might be envious of second service. So they probably needed that message, praise God, more than you guys did. But you can get online and you can listen to that message. I did a lot of teaching on it. It was really good stuff. Brother Jerry really liked it. You liked the message, right? Yeah, it was good stuff. Jerry liked it. He was pulling on me. So I like that jacket, man. I love that guy. We're going to Jerry testify someday too. I was so blessed by the testimonies. And, you know, I want to just say a couple things real quickly. You know, we're so grateful that Denise got healed because she's better with us than us without her. Praise God. And I'll tell you, Patrick's testimony, you know, I had Patrick in youth group, and I love this guy, this young man so much. And when he got saved, he was so blazing grateful for God. I mean, you heard his story. He was sleeping on the bench in high school, you know. It was cold in Ohio, you know, and he was hungry. And, you know, he got saved, and he was so happy for God that during worship he'd get so excited. He would run around the church. He's like, I can't contain myself. I'm so grateful. He would run around the church, and some religious person walked up to our pastor afterwards and said, I don't like the direction that this church is going, and you know, this young kid who's running around here. And man, I'll never forget, my pastor looked at this guy and he said, if you knew his story, you would run with him. And that, I say, I know his story, you understand, and it impacts me. If you knew his story and now you know, you'd run with him because of where he came from and where he has come and who he is today. Amen. Because God saved him, delivered him, healed him, changed him, anointed him, appointed him, and now he's getting married. And I want to say something to you that I believe the Lord spoke to me. The pain of not having a dad is going away the moment that you behold your first child. It's going to be gone forever. Because, and I know it's gone, but what I'm saying to you is that you are going to be such a good father in the relationship that you never had, you're going to have. It's just coming from a different place. And the way that you weren't loved, that way you will love and cherish your children. And you have kids, and you'll be a good father, and you'll be a good mother. Praise Jesus. It's an unbelievable testimony. Hallelujah. And then my brother Bobby, man, thank you for being ready in season and out of season. I just, you know, I got to come over to Patrick and say, hey, can you share? But with Bobby, you know, he was back there. So I'm just like, I just got to go for it. I just got to step out in the water and believe that he's going to be ready to go. But I had a great confidence that he was because I've heard his testimony. And when I've got around him, he's talked to me about what it means to him that Jesus Christ came into his life. And it's meant so much to me to hear his testimony. And, you know, I'm going to tell you something else, Bobby. Let me see here. I'm going to tell you something else. When I see up here sharing that testimony, I know that more than this church needs to hear that testimony. And I see God opening up a door for you to share that testimony because you're anointed to speak that and declare what's happened to you. You need to write it down and pray and let God open up the doors for you to share with that because it'll impact thousands and thousands of people when they hear your story. And, you know, and he just gave you an abbreviated version. There was so much more that he could have said. And he's such a cool guy, huh? he's such a cool guy. But I'll tell you what, he put a lot of things in perspective for many of us here today, didn't he? You know, sometimes we think, man, we have it so rough. And you realize, you know, all the things that people go through. And, you know, you say, well, I didn't go through all that. Well, listen, what Bobby's testimony is about, he had to go through all that because he was so hard. He had to go through all that. And God allowed all that to happen so he could be saved. You understand? Because it took that in his case. Listen to what he's saying. He's like, don't be that way. He's talking to all the young people. That's where he left the youth in. Don't be that way. He's done. He's like, listen to your mom. Listen to your dad. Listen to your parents. Don't go the way that I had to go in order to learn. He's saying, thank God that I learned, but you don't have to go that way. You can figure out at a young age that you're just going to blaze for Jesus and trust those that God has appointed and anointed to speak into your life. Can you say amen? I'll tell you, it's been good. It's been rich. Did we take offering? Oh, all right, good. Praise God. So we should do it again. We should take another offering after that service. Praise God. I'm just kidding. Hey, could you come here, honey? Yeah, just come on up here. I just want to close looking better. I just got exponentially better looking. Praise God. Amen. We love you guys so much, and we're just so grateful for the Holy Spirit moving here today and the way that he did and the testimonies that came forth. And, you know, we just thank you all three of you guys being ready to just bring that in the worship team. Thank you guys. You thought you all were done. You thought you were going to be done a while ago, but you're still here. You're still here. You're still here, Jerry. Come on. Praise God. But we love you all so much. We love you, and we thank God for what he's doing. And let me just want to pray and release you. Father, thank you so much for your testimonies, God, that you authored, the living epistles that stood up and testified today of your goodness, of your power to heal, your salvation, your forgiveness, and your deliverance. We receive it all, and we bless your church in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all. Come back Wednesday night for a night of worship. Hey, all the youth, go get your muffins in the youth room.